Tuia ki te rangi, tuia ki te whenua, tuia ki te ngākau o ngā tangata katoa. Ti hei Māori ora, te tuatahi, he mihi ki te mana whenua, tēnei whenua Aotearoa. Nō hā moa, āhau, ko Whale Ula, ko Salawalua, ko Papakainga. I tae mai o ku mātua i runga i te waka Pākehā, mō te tukuna rongopai ki ngā tangata o Aotearoa. I tipu ake āhau ki Grey Lynn, ki Tamaki Makaurau. I kai mahi āhau ki Christians Against Poverty, ko Abel toku ingoa, nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Thank you so much, Jeremy, for the warm welcome. Beautiful worship. That last hymn there, it as well, really hit me. I just explained in my mihi there that my grandparents had come over in the Pākehā waka back in the 60s. Polynesian Airlines, I think it was called back then. So yeah, they come to church plant and start the Samuel Methodist Church in Grey Lynn, where I grew up, and one of my favourite hymns, it as well. And so it was just invoking memories of my grandparents that are going to be with the Lord. And so that was, yeah, it was just beautiful just to hear the worship this morning. So thank you so much to the worship team as well. Didn't know you could sing, Jeremy. You didn't say that one on the phone.
I'm trying to give that one up.
And he's fit as well. I was going, incredible. So man of many talents, I see there. But I mentioned in my mihi as well that I grew up in Grey Lynn. So born in New Zealand, Aotearoa, to Samoan parents. Both of them had come from Samoa. So we grew up in Grey Lynn. Any Aucklanders? All right. There you go. See my brothers and sisters at the back there. But we grew up in Grey Lynn. We used to go to Newton Central Primary School. Going with the kids, no shoes, they'll wear the same clothes days on end, no lunch. I remember my first day, I was 5 years old, first day of primary school, mum packed me this lunch, egg sandwich, sliced carrots, an apple, and a little carton of Just Juice. Come lunchtime, I go to open my bag and there was nothing there. I'm sure I saw mum like, pack my lunch. So first day of primary school, I'm crying. The teacher there next to her desk, all the kids were sitting down on the floor there eating their lunch, and I see this, I won't say his name, but he's Tongan, Daddy Tongans. eating an egg sandwich, munching on like these carrots, and I share this story because when I look back, I kind of think, man, maybe, you know, that was sort of like my first introduction to what kind of poverty looked like. Not thinking anything of it like as a kid, but just upon reflection. So a little bit about myself. About intermediate, my dad got made redundant. And I remember him having to sell mum and dad's, both of their cars. So everyone sort of had to bus to work, or we had to walk to the local food town, as it was called back then. And I used to be real, like, shamed, like, walking off, like, the lugging these shopping bags, and all my mates will be, like, you know, driving past. And then later on, after high school, we lost our family home that my grandparents had bought. They bought a couple of plots of land, busted one house down, and so we had this big property in Grey Lynn, but we lost it. Mum being the first to get married, I'll show you a picture of my mum up there as well, and... But a lot of Polynesians and Pacific Islanders really financially illiterate. And so unfortunately, we lost this family home of ours. And it's still like a kind of, you know, hits me even today. But I guess I share all of this because I feel like a lot of these events in my life, God was sort of preparing me for, I guess, such a time as this. Because when I started at CAP about 6 years ago, I never knew who they were, I never heard of them, and then I just remember watching some client testimonies on YouTube, wanted to explore a little bit about who these guys were, and I saw these families that were heavily weighed down with debt become free from that burden, from that unmanageable debt that they were weighed down by, and I saw relationships that were completely broken restored, and I thought, man, that's exactly like what I remember growing up. It was such a the dynamics within our home was there was a lot of tension. There was a lot of pressure for mum and dad to provide. There would be days that we skip meals just because of that pressure. And so I firmly believe that, you know, God again was probably preparing me to for this work. And what it really made me do was watching these client stories, what it changed the way that I thought about poverty. As I said, that's my mum and dad up there. They both worked hard. They still work hard today. Actually, I'm going to rewind a little bit because now that I've shown that picture of my beautiful wife and my beautiful kids, we have five kids. I'm so fortunate and grateful that I married a Pacific Islander that was really literate financially. So we have a house up in West Auckland. And again, like she really taught me how to like understand about what finances and managing your finances, how you know what it takes to be able to do that. But coming back to like these stories that I watched and that, it really changed the way that I sort of saw people that were in poverty. It taught me that we don't really know what is going on behind people's smiles. We don't really know what's going on behind the exteriors that say, hey, everything's all good, everything's okay. That there are a lot of hurting and broken situations that only Jesus can heal and that only he can restore. And that the church, this group of people right here, are his hands and feet called to minister in our communities. And so this morning, church, I'm going to tell you of stories about courageous people who have been helped by the local church all across Aotearoa in partnership with Christians Against Poverty. Stories of churches that are reaching people in transformational ways. And as I share, I pray that your hearts be moved with compassion and that the Holy Spirit will stir in each and every one of us a desire to see people's strong, to see people behind those strong exteriors and just to understand their struggle and to respond with mercy and with love. And so I want us to look, or I'm going to read a story in Luke 10. So this is a story that we're probably all familiar with, but I want us to start by looking at this story here. And I'll read from Luke 10. And on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who was my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So in Jesus' time, Jericho was an oasis that was situated near the Jordan River. It was a wealthy, busy city. The road between Jerusalem and Jericho was heavily trafficked with salespeople, worshippers, tradesmen. It was a 15-kilometer, 1,000-meter descent through dry desert land, and it was known among the locals as the Way of Blood. So if you had to return to Jericho along this dangerous pass, you'd be thinking about the need for food, water and proper clothes to survive the harsh sun and heat. And you'll probably be thinking about the need to protect yourself. Stay in groups and keep moving as you came to these narrow passes that were often lined with caves where robbers would hide. So with that picture in mind, imagine that you're along this road and you carefully approach these narrow passes. You see this heap that is just slumped on the side of the road. Up ahead, a priest, a holy man. He moves out of his way to avoid this body. Behind him, there's a Levite. He takes a closer look, but he steps over him and then he continues quickly along. Now, Jesus doesn't say why they didn't stop. It may be because they didn't want to become ritually unclean by touching someone that was left for dead. It may also have been a strong sense of self-preservation, because stopping here would have meant risking their own life, because robbers would be sitting in the shadows waiting to ambush their next victim. And then suddenly you notice a Samaritan, someone who was actually considered the enemy of the Jews. And as Jesus tells the story, he says that the Samaritan was moved with compassion for this Jewish man who had been beaten, stripped of all of his clothes, and left for dead. So whenever I read this parable, I'm really struck by the Samaritan's extravagant care for this man. He ignores danger to himself. He kneels down to take care of the man's immediate physical needs. He enters into his pain and suffering, and he brings about a healing touch. He cleans the man's wounds, bandages him up, puts his own cloak around him, and then he loads him onto his donkey, finds the nearest place for him to rest on this dangerous road. Gives a couple of days' wages so that the man is fed for, cared for, and then he promises to cover all further expenses to his recovery. And so by responding when he did and in the way that he did, he saved this man's life. And who was being a neighbor to this man, Jesus asks? Was it the Levite? Or was it the holy man? No, it was the one who showed him mercy, the one who showed him compassion. So what does that mean for you and I? What does that mean for us today? The reality in Aotearoa is that poverty robs people. It strips people of dignity, rips them out of community. And there are families in our nation right here in this community, Porirua, who have been beaten and left on the roadside of Aotearoa, battered, beaten down by poverty, often caused by debt, and generational cycles that seem impossible to break. So they may be people that you see, and they may be people that you know, but often it's people that we don't see and people that we assume are okay. It's people like Kath and Marlo, both put on a brave face when they went about their work, yet they struggled to feed their five kids on $60 a week for food, and then home became a place of resentment and anger. Emma, she was another CAP client who was struggling to find work, living in a little garage with her young son, with no one to turn to for help, and she felt like a useless and a bad mum. And so their situations look a little something like this. Imagine after paying all of your bills, you have just $60 each week to feed your family of five. That's the amount that many of our clients are trying to survive on when they make that first call for help. But if that's all you have, what if one of the kids gets sick and the prescription costs $15? Or it's a cold week, so you want to keep the heater on that little bit longer. Now you're having to choose between feeding your kids and keeping your house warm. So you skip a meal. And soon this becomes your pattern. CAP clients tell us that this was normal. 3 out of 4 skipped meals on a regular basis. And there's absolutely no extras for basics like car maintenance or, you know, the school fees, school shoes, school uniforms. So what do? You choose to borrow just to put a little bit of extra food on the table or to fix your car so that you can get to work in the first place. And then the interest compounds and the repayments make the days and the weeks even harder. You're tired, you're hungry, you lose your temper, and then you fight. Your sense of belonging shifts, and then you withdraw from people because if you don't have the money for petrol or you can't bring a dish to the family party, you stay home. You stay hidden. You hide away from people. And over time, your identity is shaped by loneliness, a feeling of failure, helplessness, fear, perhaps even depression. And there's this shame from a social stigma that says that you're not trying hard enough. And this is hard to hear, but 1 in 4 of our clients tell us that they had considered to, or attempted to end their life just because of debt. One client described it like this, that it's the stuff that really breaks you. But you know, if we look back in Luke 4, just a few chapters before Jesus shares about the Good Samaritan, he announces his public ministry by reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Jesus says that this is who I am and this is why I'm here. I'm here with the good news for the poor. I'm here to bind up wounds. I'm here to heal the broken hearts. I'm here to set the captives, to set the prisoners free. And so his very actions were always moved and guided by compassion, just like we see in the story or the parable of the Good Samaritan. His heart was always turned to the lost, the hungry, the poor. And today there is a very real enemy who wants to rob people, who wants people to be defined by their struggle, who wants people to be trapped in their poverty. But Jesus came and Jesus gave his life and he rose again so that he could release people that were bound by pain and hopelessness and into a life of fullness, freedom, and joy. So this is where Christians Against Poverty comes in. We want to work with Jesus and the local church to help end money chaos in Aotearoa so that we can find or have financially resilient whānau that are proud of what they're building. And so this ministry is built on compassionate, holistic care that welcomes people into community, just like here, and introduces them to the transforming love of Jesus. Cap Debt Help, which is a service that reaches people who are in money chaos because of unmanageable debt, is a service that we do provide here in Porirua. Freedom Church in Porirua provides this very help, but it reaches people that are in money chaos. And this is the help that Kath and Marlaw and Emma, that I showed a little bit earlier, that they all received. So there's a whole team of people from local churches who visit clients in their homes after they've made that first call to us for help. And so they get to know the families, they get to take care of those immediate practical needs, like filling up the empty cupboards with food. They get to pray with families, they get to say that you're a good mum, that you're a great dad, and that you're doing an amazing job. And then they do the practical things by gathering their debts and bills. They send it up to us at CAP Support Office, where we're advocating on behalf of more than 500 clients at any given time. So we have a team up at support office that negotiate with creditors to get interests and payments lowered or to get debts written off. And then we build livable budgets for our clients so that they begin to pay back their debts at a rate that they can afford. And so the CAP team work with people throughout roughly around 2 to 4 year journey on average out of debt, supporting them throughout life's changes. And the church, the local church, they get to provide that holistic care by inviting people along to church, by fixing their car if you've got a mechanic in the room, or babysitting their kids, essentially wrapping client families in complete support and love. And what I love about the CAP Help Debt Help service is working together with the church, because together we get to create a platform of hope for our clients in your local communities. I guess the other thing also is that you know your community better than I would know from up in Auckland, Tamaki Makaurau. But the other thing is that platform for hope. Hope is powerful, and hope doesn't start the day that someone goes debt-free. Hope starts with the prayer when someone first calls CAP, and it starts with someone showing up to their doorstep, saying that we're here to help, and that you're not alone anymore. And it starts with the knowledge that people have value, that there is a God who loves them and has so much more for them. So I want to share with you a story of transformation and hope. Why on Andre from Dunedin, where Jeremy and Becca were serving once, but I just want you to see this awesome transformation.
Of the whare, the one who grounds you and keeps your whānau stable and keeps it a safe place, a happy place, a strong place. Always had mahi, we always had work, he's always been full time and then I would do mummy hours. All our income went on our bills. We thought we were doing right, we really did. And even though we had all these HPs, it was for things we did need, like cars, even just petrol to get to work. We were always broke on our payday. The money had gone and there was just nothing left for us. Could do a wee bit of groceries that day, but come Monday the following week, there's nothing for school lunches. There's not even enough for a milk and a bread, and yeah. The debt made me vulnerable, it made me weak, and it's still thousands owing. And you're paying it off each week, but you just don't see it going down. It just caused like something not nice in the household.
There were days where it was hard. Distance, you know.
All his income was gone. I had spent it on all our bills. And I just couldn't explain myself. And then it would cause arguments. Seeing a pattern and it wasn't good on the kids, we could see. Lost, scared, and wanted to give up. Just wanted to run away and hide. They had a brochure on the reception desk and I seen it. It said, "Are you struggling with debt?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, yes I am." We were having a talk and organising someone to come see us. She said, "Can I pray for you?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, what do I say? I've never had that. Anyone ask me that before?" And I was like, "Okay." And so we had karakia. I felt good. Felt cared for, and I didn't even know this person.
Yeah, I wasn't too keen on it, to be honest. I know I was just going to get judged, or I would be sort of looked down upon. When I first met Stephanie, it was awesome. It was an awesome first visit from the get-go. I sort of let my hair out because they made me feel real comfortable, and you could just sort of tell that these people were here to help. Seeing my wife a lot happier, I could feel sort of a stress relief in a sense, just by the joy on her face, and it's only a step, but it's still a step towards paying debt.
Bills, okay, and I thought I had them all, and then she brought up, "Okay, do you have this, do you have," and I was like, "Yes, we'll bring those out too," and I was like, "Oh my gosh, okay," and so I bought everything out that we owed. Rent, power, everything. And so she took it all away. Your budget's arrived, why? And so she came over, she explained it. "We get this much left for us and everything sorted." And she's like, "Yes." And I was like, "Everything." I couldn't believe I could actually cover a doctor's bill. Like I was on top of everything. Something happened to the tire and I needed to get it fixed there and then. I had the money there. It was just so awesome because it was our money, our well-earned money. It was our savings, it wasn't caps. They just helped us manage it. We had a fireplace and we had no wood. She goes, "Okay, I've got an idea." We met her husband. She said, "Coming with Murray and getting some wood."
And that's how I first met Murray, and it was just a whole day of working, just cutting firewood. He's a good friend. He means a lot to me. I've never had that before, so especially, you know, in my 20s and 30s, I had a rough time with people, you know, getting to know someone and then just to find out that, you know, Murray was the right friend for me. Why I say that is because I've done so much since he's been involved in our life.
Learnt of a men's breakfast for hubby. He started attending, and then that's when we found church.
Mm.
Okay, we'll start going to church.
I have this Kawasaki 450, and my wife bought it for me about almost a decade ago.
No waff, no retro.
No waff, no retro, but it's a motorbike, let's get
barely
it.
Brakes
the brakes weren't working, but hey, it's all right, I'll use my foot now. It was parked up, and then when we had cap, Murray decided, hey, look, what you doing with your bike? Should we do it up? And I was like, that would be amazing. There was missing indicators. There was a rip seat, bald tires. When I say bald, there was actually wires coming out of the tires. When I have tough times, if I need to, I can come to Murray and sort of seek guidance. It's a place of peace for me and a place of comfort. That's what I like about being here. To be honest, I was sort of like the bike, you know, the bike was me. For me, it's not about the bike, it's about building myself and understanding the Lord. Jesus is great, man. Jesus is, it's hard to explain through him what he's done for me as a person. As a husband as well, you know, as a dad. Jesus is my saviour. He saved me from a lot of things. He's given me strength to be here.
So when Kat called us to let us know we were debt free, I screamed. I had my teenagers in the car and they're looking at me like, it was the best feeling ever. And then she said, and on top of that, you have savings that we're going to put in your account. I'm like, no way. So the money knowledge in our kete that we're passing on now is educating our children around what they spend their money on. Before you do that, look where mum and dad were. Just keep embedding it into their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Consistency.
It's key. Because we disciplined ourselves sticking to a budget, we sort of had that same discipline.
Something's like there that, oh, we do need that. I can get it and not have to worry. We can get an ice cream. Yeah, like, cool.
Just a little.
We can buy hot chips.
Yeah. I'm proud of us both. We've overcome so much. So when there are stormy days, that, yeah, we're strong enough to get through it. My love for my wife has been so stronger than ever.
I love it. I can see another 25 years.
Well, thanks for your sharing. Thank you.
I'm proud of us as a team, and we're here today sharing a story with you.
Thank you for your title, go.
Cool. Yeah, beautiful and awesome transformation of a family that was obviously like struggling for a long time. But when people are freed from poverty, you know, when they discover who they are in Christ, just like Wyan and Andre and their family, everything changes. Everything changes, and then there's also this ripple effect for the next generation. Now, I just shared a little bit earlier as well about Kath and Ma Law, and they were another family in the same position, but they now, they both work for CAP. They're both helping other families journey out of debt. And their eldest daughter graduated last year from university. First one to graduate on both sides of the family, both mum and dad, and no one on both sides had ever even gone to university. So that generational impact. Emma, who was living in a garage with her son, since becoming debt-free, she's gotten to be married and found a great job, and she's teaching her son these money principles that she learned through CAP. And so these are stories of precious families who have been helped over the last 16 years now that CAP has been working together with churches across Aotearoa. More than 110, I think it's almost $120 million of bills and debts have been repaid by our clients or totally written off. 3.2 million this year, thus far. And they do all the hard work. We don't pay a cent. And hundreds of people have become debt-free. And again, we don't pay a dollar along the way. It's the clients that do all the hard mahi. And families like Y and Andre are taking steps closer to Jesus. So coaches, we call them coaches, debt coaches, they're offering prayer. They have regular God conversations with each client. And if people are also being set free from the bondage of debt and poverty, and they're stepping into a life of freedom and joy. And so there is the power of the church, you and me giving our time, our resources, and our extravagant compassion like we heard in the Good Samaritan, to our neighbours, offering that compassion to our neighbours who need it the most. So how can you respond today? Well, I've just put up that slide there. So if you know of anyone, if you can hear the stories that I have shared and you know someone that may be dealing with the same struggles, come and talk to me after the service. But there's some details there that you can guide people to our help-free service, the phone number and the website up there. Secondly, if you want to become a life changer, I asked Jeremy if this was okay, but if you want to become what we call life changers by supporting the work of CAP on a regular basis, there's a QR code up there. Obviously, over and above your giving to this work here in North Port Edward Baptist. And then lastly, and I can hear some people, yeah, it's finished. Last of all, as we heard from Jeremy earlier, I believe that like North Port Edward Baptist are exploring what partnership could possibly look like. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, we do have a debt centre, Freedom Port Edward Church, are running a debt centre. They've been running it for 9 years. But I also know that there is a lot of need in this area of Wellington. I also know that Freedom Church Port Edward, they need people to go into homes with them. They don't have enough people to go along on visits to be able to support their debt coaches. But whatever it looks like, I guess I'm just putting it out there that there's an opportunity in some way, shape or form for you to be involved in the CAP mahi. I don't know what is going to come of this, but I'm really, really grateful for the opportunity to be able to come and share with you what the work of CAP is all about. And I guess my challenge to you is not just to walk away, but from here today and like do nothing, but whatever, like I said, maybe there's someone that you're thinking of like, man, I really think that they could use this service. Share that number. Come and grab a pamphlet off me afterwards and share it with a family member or a friend that you may think might need the help. If there's an inkling that you want to be involved as a support person possibly, like, yeah, I'd love to go in and visit. And just like you saw from Stephanie and Murray, sharing with Y and Andre, there's an opportunity to share the, you know, Jesus with people. So, I guess my challenge is just to really maybe think about what has been shared this morning, and if there's something that's stirring in your heart to be involved, I guess pray that, I guess, God move. Thank you again for the opportunity, Jeremy. Thank you to the North Port Edward Baptist family for having me. Over and out.